Hello, everybody. Welcome to Optional Opinion here on the Nominous Radio Network. I'm your host, ADV. Thank you guys for tuning in. Got a great show for you guys today. This past May, in case when you're listening to it, I was playing Bioshock Infinite, The Last of Us, and replaying Heavy Rain, and this all started with playing Final Fantasy 13, and there was a point in Final Fantasy 13, and I'll get to the topic in a few minutes, that made this inquiry that I have of why this particular point in games are moment in games barely don't happen that much. And what I'm speaking of is forgiveness. So those three games that I played, you know, I was doing a project about forgiveness in games. I wrote 5 blogs for, they're on my page on IGN. You can look under anime, ENIME, and read all 5, blogs. One is an intro, one is, you know, kind of concluding the thing, not too long, but, you know, I have like 3 main, like kind of big blogs about it. And it's really talking about why, forgiveness of games is something that we don't talk about and we don't see often. Now, of course, we see it in RPGs. Like I mentioned, Final Fantasy 13. We see it, but we don't really give it the recognition that it does. Now, it is something that, that is something in the story that we do tend to see. But we don't see it really often. And pay attention to it and give us fair due of, you know, talking it and having a big discussion. So I decided to, after playing these games, write about it and talk about it. And that's just what this podcast episode is about. It's about forgiveness in video games. And I'm going to be using like The Last of Us, Heavy Rain, and Bioshock Infinite, on why those three games, and there's definitely more games that you could find and play and see forgiveness. I really wish I could have played Lost Odyssey. That might have carried some. That is on my list to do for August. I am planning to get an Xbox 360. We just get an external hard drive so I could just have room for that. Because I do want to play Lost Odyssey, and I do want to play Blue Dragon, and there's probably some other RPGs that only came out to 360 that I'm interested in. Now, everybody know that I kind of did an episode and talked about a blog about how I disliked the 360, and I said in my case at that time I did dislike it. But you know, I still respect Microsoft, and I think now that the system is in a stable manner, you know, I could pick one on the cheap. And of course, even though I still don't own the PS4 and the Xbox One, those two systems I could definitely wait. Lost Odyssey is definitely a must play for me, and if it means that I need to, I could buy the 4 gig system, like I said, you know, do all the updates and just get external hard drive and be ready to go. That is my plan, because I really do want to experience that game. And there might be some other there might be some other 360 games that only came to that system. I'm not trying to do Gears of War or anything like that, but you know, getting back into the topic, Lost Odyssey is on my list of things to play. And I kind of want to give a quick definition about forgiveness. They define it, and this is coming from the thesaurus.com. It says forgiveness, pardon, end of blame. And I used that definition for my first blog, which I'm going to read like just 2 paragraphs of it. We witness a game where our protagonist or antagonist asks for some kind of mercy. Even in a heated manner, we ask for it when we chat online. Forgiveness is a strong moral we carry, but most tend not to give it due to a root of hurt or doesn't view forgiving someone a characteristic of theirs. BioWare uses a moral choice system that affects your character in their games. Quantic Dreams, who created Heavy Rain, built a QTE system where you have to accept your choices and decisions by the press or miss of a button. RPGs carry this also in the form of redemption and realization that their personal choice has affected all that are around them. I play many games that show forgiveness in the story. I never pay much attention to it, but after playing Final Fantasy 13, I start to think about why we haven't taken it serious. We focus on the graphics, expensive worlds, fun in what we do, and discussions with our moments in the game, but never this trait. I always wonder, when there are moments of forgiveness, why we don't take a moment to recognize it. We're quick to skip it or just roll our eyes. I, for one, decided to do something about this. And that's why I decided to write this blog. Now, it is a little spoiler about Final Fantasy that I'm about to say, of 13, people haven't played it. There is a part where Snow, who's one of the characters in the game, is asking another character for forgiveness for killing his mom. And he says, if you want to take my life, go ahead. I'll give you my life to make things better, but please forgive me because of my actions. And it comes to the point where he kind of does forgive him, and so they could be able to move on. It's just that little thing right there. Just like, you know what? I see this in games, but like I said, I just haven't really paid attention to it or given this proper due. So, definitely, I was just like, well, you know what? This would give me a reason to play Bioshock Infinite again. Because I played Bioshock Infinite, I was into a little bit, but then I stopped and started playing other games. But I played through the whole game, seeing the ending and things like that. And the thing with Bioshock Infinite, with the forgiveness part, because it deals kind of with morals and religion in that sense, I asked the question, should forgiveness in games be moral or should it be religious? And I'm going to talk about that when I come back. As I traversed the story of Bioshock Infinite, I couldn't help notice what the story was about between Booker D. Witt and Elizabeth. Until the ending, you could pretty much predict certain things. Sadly, though, in order to see Booker's forgiveness, much of the game doesn't hint at it while you're playing the game. When the forgiveness does come into play, it's too late. Yet, does Booker do it out of moral reasons or religious reasons? And as humans, we're kind of taught to, you know, it's better for us to forgive people. Definitely in a religious sense, Christian, Catholic, or whatever belief, if you have one out that they teach, they kind of talk about forgiveness, that you gotta forgive your brother, forgive your sister, forgive your friend, your family, you know, forgive that person that hurt you. But there's some people who are not religious who see that, you know, saying I'm sorry or receiving somebody's apology, you know, feel like it's not a duty, but it's like kind of a moral code of ethics. You know, it's just right to go and apologize to another person. With Bioshock Infinite, I believe that it's more of a moral reason. Due to the fact that because of Booker DeWitt's actions, it kind of caused this whole chaos of a game. But what he did to his daughter, you know, is something that is really hard to not only forgive, ask for forgiveness for that, but to be forgiven of yourself. And I don't want to actually ruin it, only because there being, you know, people who haven't played this game, who listen to this podcast, might want to see what happens to it. But I can say the reason why I feel that in video games that forgiveness has to be more of a moral code, or it has to have like a moral feel to it, it's because a lot of video games doesn't do with religion. I mean, outside of like Bioshock Infinite, if you look at Breath of Fire 3, that kind of has some religion to it, but it doesn't touch on like Christianity. Due to the fact that some of the games that come out from America and Japan have different views about religion. And I talked about this in my blog about a forgiveness being something moral or religious. It might hurt the company. Because we're playing in a fantasy world, I think they don't want to offend anyone who does play that game who are a Christian. I think it can be done in a very tasteful manner, but you know, the reputation of that developer, of the creators, of that director, you know, they don't want to risk anything. Now, you could always do forgiveness in a religious manner by telling a great story. Not saying that none of the stories that are in these games not told well, because I believe they are delivered well. They are produced very well. It's just that there's a lot of avenues and creativity they could have went and included religion. Definitely with Bioshock Infinite, where Kostok, he's about religion, you know, he's about this America having all these Christian values or religious values. Now, due to the fact that he's a racist, in a manner of that he believes this white America, everybody should have good standards and, you know, should treat the white man and maybe white women equal, and everybody else is low and beneath them, beneath the people of Colombia. So you know, that's a different kind. That's kind of somewhat what the story is, but it goes deeper than that. And you kind of realize that, well, if this antagonist is all about this, why should, you know, why would we want to offer him forgiveness for his actions? He is carrying out this plan to kind of, you know, keep segregation, prejudice, you know. He probably feels better that if the minorities and people who are not white, Americans, and who, you know, give all this praise to Cornstalk, you would kind of be like, why should we forgive him? And well, you have to play the game to find out. It's kind of weird that he's as an antagonist, he's someone that you can't forgive. It is offensive, and you really can't forgive a person who is very offensive to you, because actually if you even try to forgive that person, it falls on the floor. It falls on deaf ears. If we're going to look at it in a reality base, aside from video games, we could take the Westboro Baptist Church, and, you know, we could spend hours, minutes, days talking about their actions and stuff. But there are people who are not religious who say, you know what, I forgive you out of love. You know, you're going to keep doing this rhetoric. You're still going to keep these actions. But you know what? I forgive you out of love, because what you're doing is out of ignorance. And there are people, you know, there are people who are Christians who are completely ashamed of what the Westboro Baptist Church does. You know, and it's just like, I love the fact that there was a picture my friend or someone posted that says, that just shows a whole Christian community asking the gay community to forgive them for other people's actions. And there are some gay people who went to those Christians, and there's pictures of it that I've just seen, hugging them and just be like, we love you with the love of Christ. And what people say and try to do to you, they say they're doing it out of God. We're sorry for that. Now, they're not the people who are actually doing this, but that forgiveness that these Christians are providing to the gay community, or, you know, people who are policemen, and definitely within a time of this kind of manner, and this is kind of trying to be a little bit political, but I'm trying to get it, and I'm going to get it back to video games. You know, to receive this kind of treatment, and a policeman saying, forgive me for my police brothers and stuff like that, we need to be better at it. And there might be stories, there might be pictures of people who are, you know, because of the brutality and the things that's going on, there's probably our policeman who's asking for the community in other neighborhoods of other races for their forgiveness. And there are some people who just be like, you know, you guys can't be doing this to the police, because there are some good police who do serve and protect. They're not all of them, you know. And so, in that kind of sense, if you can see it in kind of Bioshock Infinite and Heavy Rain, which I'm gonna talk a little bit later, in The Last of Us, you know, there's forgiveness there, but. You just like Bioshock, you kind of get it at the end, where I believe Heavy Rain has more of emotional forgiveness that comes out of what happens when you forgive yourself. I kind of talked about in the more religious blog about Kratos. Now we, of course, that's dealing with Greek gods and things like that of that nature. You know, I kind of be like, well, forgiveness fails on that part, because, you know, he asked his family to forgive him for not protecting them there. But because of that, it's actually the motion of his motion of being violent. I mean, he's always been a violent person because of wars and stuff like that. But to ask for, you know, the forgiveness of his dead family members and keep and having that kind of feeling for the whole three games and that redemption and stuff, it kind of gets thrown out the window because, you know, he's being used by all these Greek gods to get what they want. And, you know, of course, you can't really put a religious spin on that because with Greek mythology, you could play around with it in a video game form, but you kind of got to know the history about that. With the religious forgiveness, I think the indies can do it. I think if we actually have get an indie developer who can make a fun but yet an emotional game where forgiveness is done in a religious manner, I think it, and you know, we don't shun it and we don't hate it or laugh at it. If there's someone who could deliver the goods and just be like, that was a really nice touching moment, and that the way that that person did forgiveness really shines through, I believe indies could do it. Compared to, I don't think AAA developers like first party or third party could really handle that because of their reputations. Now, the story of forgiveness could get stronger, and that's what I hope for in games, that it continually get better. Definitely we'll continue to see it in RPGs, and hopefully, you know, we'll see it and just in different genres. Of course, you can't do it in shooters and stuff like those. The next thing I talked about, actually wrote about, was the forgiveness affecting the character and the player. And I will be talking about that when I come right back. Oh, sorry about that. That was a little mishap. Sorry about that. But yeah, you know, it's kind of weird when I talk about forgiveness in games, because a lot of people, you know, while playing these games, like I said, kind of gave me a reason to dive into them. And I'm glad that I actually did. I actually played Heavy Rain a while back and got the really good ending. And going back and revisiting it, just like, goodness, it's still a good game. Now I'm going to go take a break, and I shall be right back. Starting the first 15 minutes of The Last of Us, there is a moment of sadness that hits you. As much as the intro had an impact on the player, it doesn't delve deeper like Heavy Rain. Now, that doesn't mean the game has any form of forgiveness in it, but Heavy Rain and, in part, Max Payne have more of a narrative that makes forgiveness affect the player in a resounding way. The forgiveness in Heavy Rain tends to be relief for the main character, Ethan Mars. And not to knock the Last of Us, because with, you know, with Joel taking care of Ellie in that game, you know, Ellie is kind of playing the part of his daughter dying from the beginning, of the game, and you just experience more of the story and things that come out of that. But reason why I feel like Heavy Rain has more of an impact. More of an impact over The Last of Us. And it's not with the quick time events and stuff. It's kind of the sacrifice that Ethan has to make, and the, you know, with the tests and things that he has to go through. And like I said, I really don't want to spoil most of the game, but there is a part at the ending, and you have different endings, so that's why what I'm about to say is a little bit spoiler alert. Depending on the decisions that you make. There is, and even if you go on YouTube, you can see this. There is a part where he does save his son, and he does fall in love. So it does lead into that, you know, that's kind of the best ending of it. But there's like different kind of things. And, you know, it's touching with that, because it shows that Ethan Mars was able to forgive himself. And as his other son, Sean, that was kidnapped in the game, for his forgiveness. And, you know, the person that he falls in love with asks for her forgiveness and stuff. And there's other things that's in the game that it's sad to see that some people can't forgive themselves. And usually when you're forgiving yourself, you can let things go. The way that it, you know, with this effect on the player, it's just that, you know, some people might find themselves in that same situation. And, you know, it might be something that we tend not to, we really want to deal with, because it's such a burden and it's such a hard thing, you know. And even, you know, with some people who before it even gets to the forgiveness part, with like Heavy Rain, Heavy Rain and The Last of Us and Bioshock Infinite, definitely with Heavy Rain, it's the fact that, it's the fact that, you know, losing a child, or having your child taken away, you know, by somebody else. Heavy Rain is a little bit to the extreme, because it's creating a mystery, you know, it's creating a story, you know, but it might be people who have actually lost a child. And kind of in all three games, it deals with loss of a child. And it deals with, you know, how do you forgive yourself of, you know, of the forgiveness comes from blaming of the self that you did, when there are circumstances that are completely out of your hand. Now, I'm not saying people who are like with Heavy Rain, who are married and a divorce happens, and, you know, the child is given custody to the other parent. It's nothing of that kind of blaming the self and forgiveness, because things could be worked out about that, but that's more of a personal reason. Where the characters in these games, they lost their child to death. With like The Last of Us and with Heavy Rain, with Bioshock Infinite, you find about that storyline. You kind of have to play it to see how that loss happens, because it's part of the ending, and I don't want to ruin it. I do talk about in the blog that Ethan has he's driven into a state of depression and suffers from agoraphobia, which is an anxiety disorder characterized by anxiety in situations where the sufferer perceives certain environments as dangerous or uncontrolled or uncomfortable, often due to the environment's vast openness or crowdedness. So you do experience that part in the game. And that's kind of caused of because of the loss of his son in the game. Something happens to him, and you lose your son in the mall that you're in. And then you know this disorder falls upon him. And it kind of you know. They don't do it too often, but it does, it does happen a little bit in the game. It kind of shows you with the camera angles moving and things of that nature. But I believe at the ending, depending on what happens, he does overcome it, and he does see better. And it kind of shows you that, you know, that power of forgiveness affecting that character, you know, is something that kind of makes you as a player probably happy to see. Happy to know that you are able to successfully help this character be happy again. You know, help this character come to a realization of forgiving the self, because there are people in real life who, you know, sometimes need their friends, and there have been family and even family members who have helped them come to the point of forgiving themselves. I am a person who has some family issues, and it took me a long time to get to the point of forgiving myself of my actions. And I'm not saying it stopped me from being happy, but it brought a sense of relief to me. And I was kind of glad that I was able to forgive myself and be able to be like, you know, what I hope later on in my life that I don't hurt nobody to the point where they don't forgive me. And they feel the way that I felt when this issue happened. That I went through. So, you know, you kind of can relate, not relate, but you can realize there's similar kind of situations to it, of forgiving the self. Now, the probably close to the end of the last two blogs, I'm going to be talking about, is that there's just some people who can't bring themselves to, forgive other people. And I will be talking about that when we come back. So the second to last blog that I wrote about is people who just, you know, refuse to forgive. And it was titled, I Can't Bring Myself to Do It. And I'm just going to read you the first paragraph. You've been hurt by a company promise and delivery. You plan not to work for them or support them in any way. Although there were some benefits, good products, and some people you come to respect, you just don't have the heart to do business with them. With the way some video game companies have treated fans of their favorite franchise, you can search the comment section on or social media and view personal opinion on why they voiced their opinion. And this might not actually have to do with The Last of Us or BioShock Infinite. It definitely kind of have a little bit to do with Heavy Rain, with the antagonist slash the killer. And the reason why I say that is because you don't really find out who's the antagonist and who's the killer to closer to the end of the game. And you kind of see why they are that way. And they just... It's kind of relatable on some things, but they just can't bring themselves to kind of really to forgive. So you kind of realize that, you know, this deep root of hurt that's inside of them is kind of the cause of what happens to different characters, and happens to Ethan Mars. So you kind of realize, start thinking about what's going on and stuff like that. But yeah, there are people who refuse to buy Ubisoft games because of the way that, they've been treated and what they deliver. People definitely, you know, refuse to buy EA games of the way that they have been treated also, you know. I'll talk about Dennis Dyack. I'm talking about any Colonial Marines and how I'm trying to find the name of it. I should have and like Steam Greenlight, Gearbox, Randy Pitchford, that's what I meant to say. Just on how they handled that whole situation. You know, it kind of hurt just pretty much the Alien franchise, and it hurt Sega and Gearbox. It really hurt Randy Pitchford because there are people who kind of forgive, but just the way that things happen with that story, and it still haven't been fully fleshed out as a solution. People are just like, they refuse to believe anything Gearbox does. Yes, there is Borderlands, and yes, they have a new game coming out, but it's just like, because of the damage that you have placed upon your consumers and people who look forward to, just the way that you outright lie to us, makes us not even trust you as a person in that company or your company ever. They might see the same numbers being done, and you know, thank God for Alien Isolation, kind of, you know, even though it had its problems, everybody just like, it really does the Alien franchise better than what Colonial Marines. It didn't lie to its gamers, anything like that. Everything was satisfactory as a Alien game. You know, they made it not so much survival horror, but you know, kind of more of a stealth game. So it's good that happened. But yeah, like I said, there's people who just like, they won't even buy used copies of a game. With Steam Greenlight, you know, just the way, and I kind of mentioned in the blog, about Jim Sterling, how he was treated on Steam Greenlight, you know, with copyrights and things like that, because the way that he gave these games that came out that you were able to pay for, his opinion of them. And it really just didn't do, do those companies justice because of the way that they treated Jim Sterling and the way that they just, even some of the foreign people, you know, if you, there's a thing called, if you go to Jim Sterling's page on YouTube, he has a video, series called Jim Inquisition. He has a video called The Slaughtering Grounds, A Steam Meltdown Saga. And then he has another one that says Skate Man, Intense Rescue, A Steam Spite Story. And it shows you the things that these developers, what they did to Jim Sterling's, YouTube page and his account and stuff. And it may be drama filled, but it's just like completely wow. I didn't talk about, because I didn't think about it, the little boy who got his data erased in, I think, Destiny, and, you know, just that whole saga right there. You know, it's just like, you can't even trust, players and stuff with the share functionality because you're risking something like that happening. So it's kind of like, wow, you know, when I talk about Dennis Dyack, I'm just like, what he did with his game on Xbox 360 and, you know, the episode he had on One Up Yours, you know, it really just kind of damaged his reputation and things like that. So people really are very skeptical about him. But I actually give Dennis Dyack, you know, some respect, you know, he's on the episode of Nintendo Voice Chat. You can check out that episode. I forgot what episode number it is, but check him out. He's on there and he talks to Jose and Pierre, you know, he talks to the crew about his experience working with Nintendo and just, and things of that nature and stuff. And it's like, it's really good to hear like this background stuff. And it just, to me, it shows he has a passion for these games. But, you know, trying to win people back over is kind of really hard. And, you know, I kind of do understand how, you know, winning people over is really hard. And they do ask for forgiveness. I love when Iwata, when he knows that he has to delay, they have to, Nintendo them have to delay a game or something. They hope people understand, and, you know, a lot of people, you know, take it as respect, and just, you know, hold Iwata to be like, you know, rats that you delayed this game, but I'd rather have a perfect and better quality game, and thank you for allowing me knowing that. We do understand. Definitely with The Legend of Zelda, the promise was broken of it not coming out this year. But it was good to see Numa come out and do a video and talking about there's more stuff they want to add. There's just stuff that, you know, they're still trying to develop, and they're sorry for pushing it to 2016, that they can't release it here and that it won't be at E3 and stuff. And the reaction to that is that people didn't just like, well, you know, that's it for the Zelda series. I just can't. People didn't even act like that. People were so calm and so respective of, you know, of that, of Numa doing that, that it just makes more people look, makes people want the game more and can't wait to be released. Now, it might heighten up expectations, but it really kind of did a good job about it. You know, they just don't send a press release and then you look on Destructoid, about the story of why it has to be, why it got delayed. Right now, Project Cars is kind of going through a difficult time, because they promised a Wii U version of the game. And it was, they said it was Kickstarter. And now, you know, they're having problems with it. They might not bring it out to Wii U. They might plan it for the NX when they hear more information and stuff. And the wording is very weird. But people are just like, but we gave you money. And instead of you guys, you know, using that money just because they said it was only for PC first. But it got crowdfunded for these games, for the games to come out for the other systems. Now, due to the fact that PS3 and Xbox 360 version got canceled, you know, you had extra money as a stretch goal to get the Wii U version done. The Wii U version was, it seems, I wish I could just find how it all goes down. The Wii U version, I think, had its own original stretch goal, aside from PS4 and Xbox 360. So it's kind of weird that you got, that the developers were able to get, the game running, but yet it's still having some problems on the other two consoles. And then, like, the Wii U version gets pushed back or didn't even get worked on at the time that they should have been working on it. And people are really highly upset about it. It's just pretty much just like, we don't even want the game. Don't even bring it to the NX. You know, we just feel like anything that you want to bring out more, it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard to sell to a community who said, who gave you money to do the job of bringing the game. Now, I can understand the guys that who develop Project Cars. They just want to give out a solid product, and they would rather push it to the next system. And if it has to do that, because I didn't give it a Kickstarter or anything, but if it takes that to do, they just have to do it. And before we get into our last one, I just want to, I'll be right back. I want to play one more cut, talk about the last one, and then I will let you guys go. So I'll be right back. And this last part is going to kind of be short, not too long. The last blog that I talked about was To Love and Forgive. When you're going to forgive somebody, and that's kind of talked about this with the games that's, that I played and stuff, that they were able to forgive and, you know, they were loved for it. And like I still said with BioShock, with Max Payne 3, you know, it took one of the missions for Max to actually forgive himself. And he actually does. And he's still a little bit cuckoo crazy and stuff, but I think he was able to forgive himself and, you know, and able to love himself enough to be like, you know, I will never forget, you know, my family. I love them. But, you know, this peace of mind is the result of me actually forgiving myself. And that made me actually love him as a character more. I think that, like I said, the story of Max Payne 3 is cuckoo bananas a little bit. But, you know, he's just very, regardless of what the trials and tribulations that he went through, I'm lucky, and this is just my interpretation about it. I'm lucky that he was able to forgive himself and that he loved himself at the end, you know, to have peace of mind, you know, to kind of have a conclusion to it. And I think that we all kind of need that. Like I said earlier about Heavy Rain, that one of the best endings is that Ethan Mars is able to forgive and love himself. And, you know, his son that he rescued, you know, was able to forgive him and love him because of the treatments and stuff that they went through. He was able to fall in, Ethan Mars is able to fall in love and ask for the other character's forgiveness. The assumption is. But you know, he's able to get to the point where he could start again. Joe and Ellie, I think Joe comes to a point where he's able to forgive himself. I'm still playing The Last of Us. Kind of a great game. I definitely would say it's better than the Uncharted series. I'm just saying that. And you know, like I started off saying with Snow, asking for forgiveness, I think he was, I think him being forgiven, was able to help him be a better character. And just be like, instead of me drowning now, I want to do my best to make sure that my friends are protected, because, you know, the girl that I love, I'm fighting for her, but now it's more of a purpose that I'm fighting for. And that's kind of cool, and I actually love that. But you guys can read more, like I said, on IGN.com. If you type in anime, E-N-I-M-E, leave a comment, read all five blogs. There's the three middle blocks, the moral, not being able to forgive and affect the player. They're kind of long reads, but, you know, read them and give, you know, leave a comment. And cause I do ask for, you know, if you ever felt that way, or if you think about this and things like that. The first, like I said, the intro to it and the last blog, they're very short. You guys could leave a comment right there also. And once again, I'm sorry for the delay for this episode. Work has been crazy and busy, and I just haven't been time to post it. Just like I said, it's just been very busy. So, but thank you guys for joining me, for listening to Optional Opinion. If you guys have any opinions or options, you can email me at myop2comments@yahoo.com. That's NYOP, the number 2, comments@yahoo.com. You guys can friend me on Facebook at Edward Varnell, V as in Victor, A-R-N-E-L-L. You guys can follow me on Twitter at That Retro Code, THATRETRO, CODE, all together. And just let me know what you guys think about forgiveness. Like I said, I hope you guys can read this blog. Splatoon came out and I haven't tried it yet. I can't wait to really give it a try. I got some amiibos, but I haven't got the 3-pack yet. I am planning on getting that soon because, I know a place that kind of has more of them. E3 is coming up, so be ready for that. Next week I will be doing a podcast, be giving the topic, stuff like that. E3, I believe that Friday or that Saturday, depending on when it goes live, for the post of it. I'm not doing any predictions or anything like that. It's going to be more like reactions. Hopefully we have Chris Leon again, back on it, and we spend 2 to 3 hours talking about E3, pretty much like everybody else, because there's a lot of press conference. I'm probably going to do some, like mini episodes, with my reactions, talking about it. So it should be good. And I'm even going to tune in to watch the PC stuff, because I feel like, you know, this is part of E3, and there might be some good stuff. So it's going to be really good to watch. But thank you guys once again. I'm going to just leave you out with this last, tidbit of music coming from Final Fantasy 13. And then, you know, everybody just have a good time. Enjoy life. Have a great weekend. Have a great week, depending on when you're hearing this. And I'm going to go get ready to play some Splatoon. All right. Check you guys out later. Peace. Cheers.